They're watering down the Bible. Don't say sin. Don't say hell. Don't say any of those words, man. You gotta practice tolerance. You're going to hurt somebody's feelings. How dare the church water down the Word of God that will outlast everything?
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Well, happy Friday. We're delighted you've tuned in for the Love Never Fails radio program. Pastor Bill continues his study from 1 Corinthians today with the conclusion to the message, Unity in Diversity. Let's listen in.
We know that love works no harm toward his neighbors, amen? We know that love fulfills every word of the law, okay? Boy, listen, the fruit of the Spirit is love. You know, chapter 13, people have called chapter 13 the greatest hymn in the Bible. I don't have a problem with that. But you know what, loved one? I mean, no offense if you've done this, but chapter 13 is not a wedding hymn, okay? I mean, it's just not a hymn to be used for weddings. It's chapter 13 is about how you use the gifts of the Spirit. Amen? That's why God put chapter 13 right in the middle of 12 and 14 to make sure everybody got it. Listen, the rule of love is the only proper way for the gifts of the Spirit, whether it be tongues, interpretation, tongues, miracles, whatever it might be, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, it's the only way for the gifts to properly be manifested. Gifts are always empowered by the love of God that is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Spirit that has been given unto us. Now listen very carefully. I want you to do something for me. Turn, we're talking about unity and diversity. We're talking about the gift that you have. Turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 12. And I want you to look down at verse 3 with me. Remember how Paul starts out that great chapter 12. He says, now that you've learned everything from chapter 1 through 11, now all that God has done for you, who you are in Christ Jesus, that you're sanctified, that you're justified, that you're identified, all of those things. Then he says, Paul cries out in chapter 12 of verse 1 of Romans, I beseech you therefore, brethren, I'm begging you, I'm pleading with you by the mercies of God, that you present yourself a living sacrifice unto God. Amen? Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then he goes into verse 3, and look what he says. He's telling us right now, listen, what affects one member affects every member. Watch this. For I say through the grace given me, that's that undeserved, unmerited favor of God, grace, to everyone at Calvary Chapel who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly. Why? Well, as God, not you, not your ability, as God has divided or dealt to each one a measure of faith. Now listen, you're born from above. This is not saving faith. This is not little faith. This is not any of those other faiths right here. This faith right here is the faith that's given to you, a measure of faith. Why? God has given you this measure of faith, meaning the amount of faith that you need, you have right now to exercise the gift that God has given unto you. You have everything you need. That means that every Christian in any generation who says that they are a believer and connected to the body of Christ, you are without excuse for not using your gifts that God has given you because you have the faith to exercise that gift. For as we, look at verse 4, as we have many members in one body, now watch, but all the members do not have the same function. That is unity in diversity. But listen to me now, every member of the body of Christ, they have a function. Amen? Absolutely. So we being many are one body in Christ, individually members one of another. Here it comes. Having then gifts, plural, meaning gifts from the Holy Spirit, differing, all these different kinds of gifts. According to the grace that is given to us, let us what? Use them. Listen to me. My heart exists in my body right now to serve my body. Amen? Yes, my body, the heart doesn't exist for the body to serve the heart. You have a gift from God. You exist to serve the body of Christ, not for the body to serve you. Well, you know, I want to be this. No, listen, I wasn't greeted. I wasn't. Well, stop it. God, you're gifted. You have a supernatural gift from God. Supernatural. Unbelievable. You have the faith to operate in that gift. He says, I want you to use it. If it's prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion of our faith. It says, use them, exercise them. You have an obligation to do that. Listen to me. Your gifting that you have is of absolutely no use and no value unless you use it. Now, let me preface by saying this. There are some older people in the church, even some younger. They're not able to do a lot of things. Do you understand? And that's okay, but you can pray. Amen? But not everybody I know can do these things. But listen, I know some pastors, good friends of mine, and they'll always say, well, I disagree with you, Bill. I said, okay, I disagree with you, but we still love one another. And they teach, they're sincere, and they teach that the gifts of the Spirit, all the gifts have passed away. I want you to listen to me now. If that is the case, if all the gifts of the Spirit have now passed away, then all we have is the truth of God without an ounce of power. Do you understand? All we have and all the church can ever depend upon is man-made programs, lifeless man-made programs. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:15, let me read it to you. You can even turn there if you want to. Speaking the truth in love, we may grow up all things into Him. Who is the head? Christ. The church should act like the head. Amen? From whom the whole body, there we are, the whole body. Listen now, you're joined, you're knit together by what every joint supplies according to the effective working by which every part, every member, each of you does its share. The result causes growth of the body for the building up or the edifying of itself in love. Now listen, did you know the gifts, as you already know, are governed by love? But the growth of the body the right way in God's eyes, you grow in the proportion of the love you have one for another. Boy, I'll tell you, every part, every member of the body of Christ, when you do what you're called to do, loved one, listen, inactive Christians, of course God loves them. God loves them just as much as He loves active Christians. But inactive believers create a dysfunctional body. No more than love. I mean, imagine here I am. If only a third of my body was working, would I have a problem? Yes. Or what if only a third of my body grew to maturity? What if I still looked like Dick Clark, the teenager over here? You don't even know who Dick Clark is, do you? Do you not remember American Bandstand? Oh my God. You know, New Year's Eve, you know, the clock coming down, the oldest teenager living. Well, Dick Clark on this side, Bill on this side. I look like a teenager over here, a little pimple maybe, you know. Over here, just an old gray-headed man. What does that mean? I didn't mature. Part of my body did, part of it didn't. That's kind of grotesque, isn't it? Well, loved one, listen, with all sincerity, that's what we're talking about, the body of Christ. Every organ, every member in my body is distinct. You cannot substitute one organ in my body for another. You cannot say, Bill, I'm going to remove your heart and I'm going to use the ear to fix it. No, it doesn't work that way. No other organ in my body can take the place of my heart and save me. No, it doesn't work that way, loved one. Now listen to me. You are a Christian. You're purchased with a price, the precious blood of the Lamb. You have been given an incredible supernatural gift from God. You have been given the strength by the Holy Spirit to exercise that gift. You have been already given through grace the faith needed to exercise any gift that God has given unto you. It's perfect. No one can replace you. Do you understand? No one, not another, like I just said, here's my heart. Okay, it's failing. Okay, well, let's take your lung and make it. No, it won't work. Bill, your heart's gone. Your lung won't help you now. You have to have a heart. Listen. No one can replace your gift. No one. And if you're not operating and doing those things, loved one, we are in deep, deep trouble, because the Bible tells us in 1 Peter 4:10, for as each one, every Christian has received, not earned, not learned, has received a gift, that means a spiritual gift, it says minister it or use it to one another as good stewards, that means you're not the owner, God is, good stewards to the manifold grace of God. Well, Bill, I don't have a gift. I say, well, if you don't have a gift, you're not a Christian. Because every Christian has been given at least one gift. Amen? Very, very important. Loved one, listen, spiritual gifts are not optional. They're not optional at all. It's not even a suggestion. No, spiritual gifts are commanded. It says, you have received this gift. You're going to give an account to God, just like I'm going to give an account to God. The Bible tells us in 1 Timothy 4:14, Paul cries out to him and says, listen, Timothy, do not neglect the gift that is in you. The gift that is in you, that's a supernatural gift. He went on later and told him, I think it was in the 2 Timothy 1:6, right in there someplace. He says, oh, Timothy, listen, stir up the gift that is in you. Fan it. Come on, get it. It's dying. Get it alive again. Stir that gift up. Listen, what happens if you neglect the incredible, perfect gift that God has given you for the body of Christ? What happens if you neglect that? I'll tell you, the spiritual gift that you refuse, and that is what it means, you refuse to exercise, will absolutely help no one in the body of Christ. Loved one, I say this with deep tenderness. There's not one judgmental part in my entire being. I love the church. I love you. But I'm not going to water down the gospel, the word of God, for anyone. You know, listen, if you are an inactive believer, meaning you can work in the body of Christ. I'm not talking if you're ill or whatever. I'm talking if you are inactive. You know what that means? That means that you really have never presented yourself as a living sacrifice unto God. You've never done it. Oh, you may say I have, but you haven't. Because see, when you lay your life on the altar to live for the Lord, you'll do what he says to do. It also means that you will never walk worthy of your calling. Walk worthy means to be equal in doctrine and equal in application, to hear and to do. It's a set of balances. You'll never walk worthy of your calling. It also means that you're a Christian and you have all a gifting, maybe many giftings, you don't know, and you're not exercising, not trying to get involved in the church, not doing anything, just sitting in the pew. It means that you're not in unity. You're out of unity. It means that you are literally living off those that are functioning because you're part of the body of Christ, and there's no way to get out of the body of Christ. You're just floating around. What are you doing? I'm just floating. Yeah, but you have a gift. Oh, I don't know what it is. Well, God gave you a gift. He said to use it. Well, I know, but you know, I'm afraid, and the gifts, they kind of scare me. Oh, God said, I don't want you to be ignorant or afraid. Oh, loved one, listen. No, did you know if you're not operating in the gifts that God has given you, that you're grieving the Spirit of God? And not only grieving the Spirit of God, and I say this in tenderness, you're wasting your life by being a spectator and not a participator in the things of God. Listen, ask yourself right now, are you a functioning part of the body of Christ? Because I tell you that no program, nothing, no amount of money can replace God's perfect plan that he has for the body of Christ. We need to be obedient. You say, well, Bill, that's a little difficult. You're kind of being hard. No, I'm not being hard, loved one. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 4:11 about Jesus when he ascended. Listen to this. It says, when he ascended, it says he himself gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists. These are all gifts to the church, divine offices, loved one, and some pastor teachers. Why did Jesus do that? He says, well, for the equipping of the saints, to make a saint be what he ought or she ought to be. For the equipping of the saints, why? Well, for the work of the ministry, for the building up or expanding of the body of Christ. Listen, my gift is a pastor teacher. I didn't earn it, I didn't deserve it, and I certainly didn't learn it. But you know what? I'm only one part. Why would anyone in the church look up here and say, he's the main part? I'm not the main part. Do you understand? I'm only one part of the body of Christ, exercising by faith the gift that God has given unto me and called me to do. Amen? Are you following me? Oh, loved one, listen, that's so important. You know, I hope that you don't think, like I told the early service, I said, I hope that you don't think that I can do everything, because I can't. I need you. I need every part of my body. Do you understand? How could I get up out of bed in the morning if I don't have any feet to put on the floor? How can I pray and plan if I don't have a mind to make me think? Every part of the body is so, so powerful and so needed. I can't in any way do it all. I told someone Friday, I said, I am not the Messiah. I am not Jesus Christ. I am only a man. I do not have everything that you need, but God has everything that you need. Don't whine to me like Romaine at Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa used to say, don't whine to me. Take it to God, would you? Don't trust me. Trust God. Amen? Romaine's with the Lord now. He was a tough one. Oh, listen. Loved one. No, listen. You know what pastor means? It means shepherd. You know what a pastor does? He tends to the sheep. He cares for the sheep. He feeds the sheep. He doesn't fleece the sheep, which means that sheep need a shepherd. That's God's idea. That's not my idea. My role is to do one thing. One thing. Did you know that? Did you really know that that's all? My role is to do one thing, is to equip you. To equip you by teaching you what? The Word of God. Because without the Word of God, you're not complete. Without the Word of God, you're not equipped. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. Amen? Oh, loved one, listen. Equip you for what? The work of the ministry. So your gift can be, and your functions can start working and stop operating in the body of Christ. What happens? What happens when the parts of the body stop functioning? The body dies. Isn't that right? Remember what Jesus said to the church at Sardis in Revelation chapter 3? He said, you have a name. That's all you have, by the way, he said. You have a name that you are alive, but you're dead. Jesus, only Christ knows the true condition of the church. He says, oh, you think you're alive? No, no, no. He says, listen, that, you know what that meant? Your pastor is dead. The people who attend that church is dead. Your programs, they are death. They are lifeless. Your prayers are dead. You don't really expect to, even when you pray, to even get an answer. Not only that, your love is dead. The gifts are all dead as well. All you have is a name. Your worship is dead. When you sing to me, it's dead. Same song, same verses over and over and over. It's dead. You have a name, but you have no power. You have a name that you're breathing, but you're not breathing. Loved one, listen to me. Only the Holy Spirit of God can give life. And if we're not letting the divine helper of the church move through his body and being led by the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, and allowing him to distribute the gifts of the Spirit as he wills, when he wills, then we are dead. We are totally dead. And you know what that means? It means that we have, and I don't think we do, but I pray that we don't. It means that the church would have the smell of death upon them, and they have religion instead of relationship. It means that those who come into this place that are hopeless, they're going to leave the same way they came in, hopeless. Why? Because the body is not doing what it's supposed to do. The giftings are all silent. The church in the 21st century is getting ready, I believe, to be awakened. Because the 21st century church, loved one, is on life support. Oh, I tell you, the church today, they're barely clinging to the inerrancy of God's word. They're barely clinging to, yes, Jesus died and he was buried and he was resurrected and he's ascended and he sits at the right hand of God. He was born of a virgin. Some don't even believe that anymore. They're barely clinging to that. Many in the church today are barely clinging. I mean, barely knowing just a little bit the fellowship, the koinonia, the intimacy of the Holy Spirit of God. He's here. He's here with us right now. Do you know him? Do you hear his voice? He wants to speak to you. He wants to guide you. He wants to lead you. So many today, they're afraid of the supernatural, and because they're afraid of the supernatural, they have left the supernatural. How is it that having begun in the Spirit, if Paul writes in Galatians, having begun in the Spirit, are we now made perfect in the flesh? No, we have to stay with the Spirit. We have to walk in the Spirit. There are those today that they don't even, no longer believe in the gifts. Not only that, loved one, they're depending on psychology instead of the Word of God. They're depending upon church growth techniques instead of the moving of the Spirit of God. They're watering down the Bible. Don't say sin. Don't say hell. Don't say any of those words, man. You gotta practice tolerance. You're going to hurt somebody's feelings. How dare the church water down the Word of God that will outlast everything and anything. The Word of God endureth forever and ever and ever. How dare anyone to water it down, to be afraid to share God's Word. We are the church unashamed. We're the church of the living God. You have a divine gift. Use it. Use it. Get involved. Well, Bill, I don't know what to do. Just step out. Step out and get involved in whatever you can get involved with, and let the Lord, let Him show you. That's the only way that you can do it. Listen, I would have never known that I was going to be a pastor had I not stepped out. I had no clue that I was going to be a pastor. Do you understand? I started out, all I wanted to do was win people to Christ. That was it. I never in a million years dreamed that I would be standing here. Never. I never even thought about that. Yet had I not stepped out and started feeding the poor, getting that building, saving kids off the streets, doing all those Christian concerts, I would have never found where I was supposed to be. That was just a stepping stone to where I was supposed to be going. Do you understand? You'll never get there unless you step out. Get involved in the kids' church. Get involved. Go to Mexico. Do whatever, but step out, connect, and commit. And you'll find your gifting, why God gave it to you. You'll see it manifested. You'll go to a share group, and all of a sudden, something will come upon you. Wednesday night, I was praying for a lady right here. Everybody was nearly gone. When I prayed for her, the power of God came upon that person and healed her instantly in this service. Instantly. Did I know that was going to happen? Didn't have a clue. I did build it. Now, did you work up that faith? No, man, I was so tired. All I want to do is go home and go to bed. But the moment that I prayed, the power of God came upon me, and I went, ooh, I knew it. I know that. And I said, my word, how does it feel to be healed instantly and sense the presence of God? The weeping continued for at least 10 to 15 minutes as God moved. Did I know it was going to happen? No, it works as He wills and when He wills. Not when I will. But you have to be available. You go to Mexico, and the next thing you know, be a little kid that walks up to you while you're building a home or at the orphanage, and God uses you. You can't speak the language, and God uses you. You'll know exactly what to do. Listen, if you don't step out, you will stay exactly where you are, in your chair. And if you don't know Christ, if you don't come to Him, then you're going to stay right where you are. Oh, loved one, I tell you, Father, I pray right now in Jesus' name. If there's anyone here that doesn't know You, that's never asked Jesus to be the Lord of their life, listen to me now, if that's you, if you don't know the Lord, I beg you not to just come to Christ. I beg you to run to Him. And I beg you in Jesus' name, you come to Him for the right reason, not because you're in some kind of trouble or a jam or financial hardship or a marriage issue or sickness. That's okay. You could, yes, come to Him for those, but not for salvation. You come to Him because you realize in your heart you need a Savior, and that you're a sinner, and that you're dead in trespasses and sins. Jesus died on the cross not to make your life easy. Jesus died on the cross to pay for your sin, and so you would receive Him. If you don't know Him, this is a holy moment. You say, Bill, I want Him. How do I know Him? Just if you'll lift your hand up and put it right back down, say, Bill, pray for me. I want Christ to be my Lord. Just put it high and put it right back down. Anyone this morning, say, Bill, that's, God bless you, sister. I see that hand. Anyone else, say, Bill, that's me. I want Jesus to be the Lord of my life. I want Him to come into my heart right now. Last call. If that's you, put your hand up, put it right back down. For the one that lifted that hand, I want you to pray. Please pray this prayer with me. In church, help me. Say, Father, here I am. I want Jesus to be my Lord. I want Him to save me. So right now, I confess with my mouth, Jesus is Lord. And I believe in my heart that God raised Him from the dead. You promised, Father, if I would ask Jesus to be my Lord, You would save me. I believe. Save me now. In Jesus' name, I'm saved.
Well, it's been a great week of study from God's Word, and we thank you for listening to the program with us. We pray that your weekend is blessed, and we look forward to seeing you again on Monday. So long, everyone. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.